Christ, the Son of God. Last week we were in Psalm 38. We dealt with the inscription as well as the first five verses, and this week we are still in verse 5. In literal majority translation, that reads, causing a stinking, my wounds were putrefied from the face of my misosophy. And we began to deal with the word misosophy, which is ewelef. That is the stuff of a wheels. A wheel is a misosophist, a hater of wisdom. Misosophy is the hatred of wisdom. It is certainly foolishness, it is folly, but it is of a distinguished folly. The misosophist has more of misosophy, so much so that he is characterized as a misosophist, than does the dullard, the kasil. But the misosophy is greater than mere spiritual dullness. Ever get frustrated with believers that you must think like these? Sometimes people even say they just don't get it. And they don't get it for a very long time. They don't get it. It's like it's very slow to arrive at a point of truth. And then the next point takes years, and then that's the dullard, if the person is a believer. The misosophist may get your point well enough, easily enough. He just hates your point. And he is a Christ hater, because Christ is the wisdom that he is spurning. When it's not presented as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, then the misosophist, if he is a believer, may say, I don't hate Christ. And you're very judgmental to say that he hates Christ because he consistently rejects the wisdom that the Lord Jesus Christ is. But he will not verbally admit to his hatred of Christ. But if you're talking to someone who consistently rejects, abnegates, doesn't receive wisdom, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom. And so blessed is he who isn't snared in the Lord himself. Misosophists are snared by the Lord himself. All right, so what we began doing last week was looking at this word misosophy, ewelef. We began looking through verses as we were on our way. We dealt with the inscription in verses 1 through 5. And then I told you, this wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago. Rick was with us last week. So we began looking at these places where we find the words misosophy. Every time as we go through these verses that you see the word translated in English, fool, that's going to be not the ewheel who has ewelef, it's going to be the kasil that we're translating the dullard. So the dullard does have misthosophy. That's why they're so slow at arriving at truth. If we want wisdom, the promise of wisdom himself is, I will pour out my spirit on you. So we must say that there is a volitional aspect here. When wisdom was in the flesh among us on the earth, he said, if anyone wants to do his will, speaking of the Father, he will know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or from the one who sent me. In other words, he will recognize the divine character of the principles, precepts, concepts that the Lord Jesus Christ put out. The doctrines associated with the person of the doctrine will be recognized and embraced. That's not to say that there aren't wisdom, Christ-loving believers who may disagree with us on matters that aren't primary. We're not saying, well, if someone doesn't agree with me in anything, since I've recognized this to be the truth, they must not want to do the will of God. That's not what we're saying at all. Peter says that there are, by an apostle, Peter, he says that in all of Paul's epistles, there are admittedly things in them hard to understand, which the unlearned and therefore unstable twist to their own destruction. Now, they're twisting those things and to self-destruction. But the apostle admits they're hard to understand. And he doesn't say there's a few things. He says it's in all of Paul's epistles, many things hard to understand. So when we realize there are many things difficult of understanding in Paul's epistles, it takes academic discipline. It takes time. It takes a depth of thinking about it. It takes, we just got out of a Greek class where we were studying John 3:16. And I said to everyone as we went into it, I said, all right, get ready to learn a verse that everybody knows. Right? And there are issues in there that after our class, as I submitted them to them, there are a number of issues in there that they can't answer because John 3:16 is deeper than most people think, especially if you're in the Greek text. Talk with one of our Greek students and they'll run you through that board in the back. Tell you what we talked about, all right? There are matters that I don't know the answers to these things. I mean, I have to, some of them I have a view on, I have a opinion what's better to translate this way than another. But there is a question that was on the table, who spoke this? That I don't know who spoke that. I don't know if it was the Lord Jesus Christ or if it was John's commentary. And there are many things that go, that kind of suggest the one thing on the one side and things that suggest the other, and we were hashing that out. All right, we're not saying that you have to agree with us and everything. What we're saying is there's a depth to the writings that an infinite mind has written to finite creatures, and there's plenty for us to disagree with among ourselves. But we're talking about someone that, quite frankly, wants to live the way they want to live. And whoever gets in their way, that counsel will be rejected. And once you begin to see the pattern of the rejection of counsel that isn't about things like who spoke 3:16, There are things about, you shouldn't be living this way, or you shouldn't treat that person like this, or you shouldn't be warming up to this thing that is a way of corruption. You begin to see that there is a pattern of the refusal to align with such truth. You're talking to a misosophist. And the scripture would say, don't correct them anymore. Now, I know that's the average. I mean, that's the Word of God. It doesn't apply to all of you, because some of you are so valiant for the truth and so powerful that you can convince them. But for the average believer among us, and being facetious, of course, we're told not to try to correct that misosophist. Do you realize the misosophy in trying to correct a misosophist? You're doing the same thing. Like, I've got a statement from the Word of God here, and I'm not going to do that because I have better reasons why I should be reasoning with them. I should be persuading them, and I can do it. You think better of that misosophist than God thinks of them, and you think more highly of yourself than God thinks of you. He's told you don't do it. Now, the stuff that the misosophist has, remember, misosophist comes from two Greek words. That is the English word misosophist. It comes from two Greek words, miseo, to hate, and sophia, which is wisdom. The misosophist is a wisdom hater, a hater of wisdom. In Hebrew, that the word we're translating as misosophy is eweleth. Let's begin with what we did 2 weeks ago. We started 2 weeks ago to catalog these verses and get sort of a, as we glean everything that the scripture says about it, we get a composite picture of this is misosophy. And in the course of doing that, we get a lot of practical instruction on how to deal with that when we find it. So we left off our next verse in order. All of these are in Proverbs that we have left. They're not all in Proverbs, but all the ones we have left that we didn't cover last 2 weeks ago when we were here. All the ones that remain are in Proverbs. So let us go to Proverbs, first to chapter 14 and verse 8. Know these two things, that when you see folly or foolishness, they're all this word. We're doing a word study on eweleth, misosophy. And when you see the word fool in it, it's not the aweel. We've already dealt with them only two times. Is the aweel in any of these verses that have to do with eweleth? That is the misosophist in connection with misosophy. That was Proverbs 16:22 and 27:22. Now, when you see fool, it's going to be the dullard here. So the dullard isn't off the hook. It's not like he has an intellectual problem. He's got a spiritual problem. Okay? Ready? 14:8. The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the eweleth, the misosophy, the NAS translates it foolishness here, of fools is deceit. That is, note the contrast here in this parallel distich. Haven't said that in a long time. But the wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way. Someone who has sense and wisdom, they understand what's going on. They recognize the dynamics that other people bring into their periphery. They grasp where they're going generally. It's not like they're omniscient. Not like God's sovereignty is out of the picture, like he can't cause them to turn another way. But the idea is, generally speaking, The wise person knows what he's doing, where he's going, why he's doing it. He's got the mechanics and the dynamics of what he's doing. But the foolishness of fools, that is the misosophy of the dullard, is that he doesn't have the ability to accurately assess what's going on in his way. He's thinking, I'm doing this. That's not what you're doing. What do you mean that's not what I'm doing? I'm going to school to be an electrical engineer. I'm just picking something out of the air. Okay, I'm going to school to be an electrician. Yeah, I know you're doing that too, but what's underneath that? You're doing that because you're covetous. And you wouldn't call it covetous because you're never wrong, because you're a misosophist. And I'm not saying that, I should pick something better than electrical engineer if I'm talking about somebody being covetous, right? But it's like, I'm doing this and I'm going to be in school for 3 years, and then after school I'm going to graduate, and I've got the whole American dream mapped out. And okay, so that you have a cultural timetable that was imposed upon you. You're just a puppet of the culture here. They're not going to see that. In other words, there's this spiritual life that the one who has wisdom and is sensible about his way is operating it. And then there's this guy. And he's telling you what he's doing, and at the root of that's not what he's doing. And he's telling you why he's doing it, and at the root of that, you don't really know this, but the heart is a word very difficult of translation. It means the heel. We'll see it on Friday. Like, I'm making tracks with my... We'll talk about it on Friday. But the idea is, the heart is crooked. So if you think you know your heart, you don't really know that unless God's giving the definition about that heart. And if you're wise, you have that kind of definition. But if you're not wise, you don't even know why you do things. You know what you're aware of, but you don't know the real pulse, if you are a misosophist, as to what is actuating you. He doesn't know why he's on this agenda. He might have an idea. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know his way. He doesn't know. Listen to Jeremiah, man. In Jeremiah, it's not Jeremiah, it's the Holy Spirit, I know, but let's just use the name Jeremiah because he said, can this guy be black and white? I know, oh Lord, that the way of a man is not in himself. That is, here's a man who is not a misosophist, and he's telling God that he knows, I'm not big enough to even choose my way. I know that I can function in a divine power sphere and you're guiding me, or I can function in a demonic realm. And I mean, really, is everything either divine or demonic? Timothy, you love that word. Everything's demonic. Yeah, everything of humans, and that's what this guy's about. This guy is about doing things the human way. Well, that's not the divine way, and the human way and the demonic way are bedfellows. They're like joined at the hip. Does he know that? Is he thinking in terms of, when I do what I want to do, I am thinking demonically? Does he know that? He doesn't know his way. Man of wisdom knows his way. Let's look at, in other words, there are bigger issues here that the misosophist just can't see. There are kingdom issues that the wise see it, like it, embrace it, want to go that way. The other kingdom that the misosophist functions in, he is oblivious to. Let's go to 14:24. The crown of the wise is their riches, but you understand you're in solidly old covenant territory there. The B part, though, is what we're here for. The folly of fools is foolishness. Now, two times it's here. Now, I always say, why do they translate the same word two different ways close together? How about in the same verse? We've got foolishness and folly. Both of them are ewelith. The idea is the misosophy of fools is misosophy. That is, it's almost like the scripture is saying, I don't care what he calls it. I don't care what he wants to, how he wants to paint it. It's misosophy that's misosophy. There's no two ways about it. 15:2. I do believe we'll finish this today, but there's a nice amount in front of us here. It's not too much. I'm not going to rush through this, but it's not just a little either. 15:2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, literally just good, makes knowledge good. But the mouth of fools spouts folly. That is, the mouth of the dullard spouts out misosophy. The A part, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge good. In other words, the wise person knows how to use it, when to say it, the way to say it. He utilizes the knowledge that he has with prudence. Now, the dullard doesn't have any of this. He doesn't have this wisdom. He may have some knowledge of, you know, fact acquisition. He's picked up some Bible verses along the way. But even when he's talking the Bible, he's spouting misosophy. Because how he's using it is askew. What he's motivated to do with it is evil. You see it in people who, and this is a horrible combination. It's a terrible combination, but you've seen it, haven't you? People who learn something from the Bible and there's a sick, it's like, no, it's not sick. I'm correcting myself. I am always telling people, usually my family, people in my family, okay, see something, that's sick. I'll say, no, it isn't. It's evil. All right, it's so nice to call evil sick, call evil sickness, because that takes the evil guy off the hook. Like, it's not my fault. I have sickness. I wish I could remember. I didn't know I would mention that today. But if I did, if I planned to, I would have gotten this thing. I would have tried to look for this thing that J. Vernon McGee shared one time. I have his radio 5-year thing in book form. And he said somebody, he's quoting somebody else about alcoholism. It's a sickness. And he said, it's the only sickness, and then he starts going through things. It's the only sickness that the state taxes. It's the only sickness, you know, and he starts going through these, really, this doesn't look like a sickness, you know? It's not, most things that are very evil, that's not because of sickness. There's no sickness involved in it. Even if you want to call it mental illness, why is that person mentally ill? And I'm not saying this is the case with all mental illness, I'm just saying that if it's evil, then it's evil. And the misosophy of fools is misosophy. It's not sickness. It's misosophy. So, we've got a situation here, it's 14:24, where, wait a minute, I had 15:2, thank you. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but you've seen this sickening combination, right? Somebody gets Bible knowledge and they you can tell they like it. Not the Bible knowledge. But they like to argue their point from the Bible, their position. They enjoy the divisiveness of the argument. There's pride behind it, and we might say arrogance, because I like to win the argument. And they haven't even won. They count winning the argument that with the other person stopping. Scripture says, any fool can keep an argument going. Any fool can... No, it takes no wisdom to keep an argument going. It takes wisdom to shut it off and shut it down. The misosophist, if he has any fact acquisition, we can't call it wisdom, we'll just call it knowledge. If he's got that, there's this morbid fascination for controversy, as the NAS renders 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4. You can tell there's an enjoyment, there's a pleasure in the friction that exists there, or besting someone, or making the opponent who, I don't really care about the world out there in when I teach in here. I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about believers usually, unless I'm talking about an evangelistic situation or people in the world. You see, believers who belittle other believers when they've got some kind of point, it may not even be a doctrinal point. It's just more disgusting when it's a doctrinal point. But they like to embarrass people. They like to make people look stupid. This is sin. All right? This is hatred. You can't love someone when you do that, because you're not doing to them as you would have someone do to you. Did you feel good when you're embarrassed? No, you don't feel, that doesn't feel good, does it? When you're ashamed, when, you know, some of us, I mean, like myself and many here, when you blush, it's like, I'm light enough that I'm not going to pull this off. Play it off and just hide it. They're not going to notice. They're going to notice. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever been, I can't even think of a time when it's happened to me, but I know it's happened. Someone's embarrassing me, and I'm feeling hot in my face. I'm blushing, and everybody, now it's more embarrassing that everybody knows that you're embarrassed. That would be like a crowning achievement for the misosophist to get you to that place. They are spouting folly, spouting misosophy. 15:14. Thank you, Gary, for getting me back on the track with that. 15:14. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. All right, now our last verse was, he spouts misosophism. Misosophy, either way. Misosophy is much of it. He spouts misosophy, but he also feeds on it. You see this on television. This is like dinner. This is like 5-course meals for misosophists. Some of these programs on television where, okay, we know the Word of God, we love the Word of God, the person of the Word of God. We love God the Word. God the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. We love Him. Here's the guy on television, and he's on a program that's all about misosophy. So they only invite misosophists. And they have a prominent misosophist on their misosophy program, and they're just reinforcing each other as they make fun of wisdom. They're not only spouting it themselves, they're the originators of it, they're also the consumers of it. Because when they hear misosophy put in a way that they haven't thought about it before, they're eating that up. They're just loving that. The scripture, we've talked about it with Jeremiah, but here it is in Proverbs. Proverbs just lays things open. Because God does that. Let's go to 17, 17:12. Proverbs 17:12. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a dullard in his misosophy. I'm just inserting my preferred translations in there. Rather than a fool in his folly. Here's a guy, he's in his folly. Or here's a woman in his folly. Here's a person, and they're in the midst of this. They're doing this. They're moving in this thing. And you happen to step in that path. Like, I didn't want any part of this. I mean, if I knew this, I wouldn't come here. But you happen to, in your life, the circumstances have you there in the earshot of the misosophist. Get in their way. Suggest that this is not good. Now, you shouldn't do that, understand, if you know they're a misosophist. I'm telling you, you shouldn't do that if you know they're a misosophist. But if you don't know that they're a misosophist and they ask you, that's where I get in most of my problems, is, look, I go out of here, I want to tell you the gospel if you're not a believer, and that's all I want to tell you. But because I'm a believer and one that believes the Bible, there's the assumption that all believers are like the obnoxious right politically on television that they see. I'm not saying if you're right, you're obnoxious. I'm just saying that there are people that are misosophists that have right principles and correct morality in points of doctrine, and they invite those onto programs to basically say, this is what Christ followers act like. And that person is a fighter. That person is a name caller. That person is just a basher of anybody who isn't like him. You can disagree with somebody. You don't have to get ugly about it. They know the guy's going to be ugly. So they invite him on there. And now the assumption, by extension, is people who follow this Jesus religion, they're like this guy. See what they're like? All right, a fool in his folly, if I get asked, what do you think about this? I really don't want to talk about this. I'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is associated in their mind, not in truth, with these other things. When I then have to say, okay, here's the cloud of, you know, I agree with that point. And the ugly Christian agrees with me on that point, but has surrounded it with all of this rhetoric. Now, when I say, yes, I agree with that point, they understand I agree with that point and this ugliness that is around it. I don't even want to go here. I don't even want to talk about this. But you ask me. Now, the person on the other end is the misosophist who's asking. I'm not saying anybody who's asked you a question is a misosophist. I'm just saying that there is this kind, this kin of people there who, as misosophist, natural-born misosophist. The Christian is not a naturally born misosophist. His new nature is not to go there. But they have followed the old nature, the lower nature, the animalistic nature. They've followed that at times. The misosophist by nature likes to argue too. That's part of the whole misosophy thing. Meet that fool in the course of his carrying out his misosophy. What is the reaction? Like a bear robbed of her cubs. What's that like? Just think about it. There's a bear and a number of cubs. I'll go take one. And what's the reaction of the bear? That's the reaction of the misosophist when you try to Or you don't even try to. He just perceives that you're trying to take my folly away. If I follow what you say, I won't be able to function in this misosophy anymore. And there's anger, there's reaction, there's flesh, there's rage, there's fury. That tells you something about misosophy, right? It's connected with wrath. It's connected with anger. It's connected with indignation. All of those things can be something that's righteous, but when someone is characterized by it, they're never righteous. Let's go to 26:4. Wow, big jump. 26:4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you also will be like him. You know what that is? That's like, you recognize, you might not put it in my wording here, but you say, this guy's a misosophist. And I don't want to get into it with him, because he'll be like a bear robbed of his cub. The best thing for me to do is just listen to this and exit. But while you do that, there are these social cues that you have learned that, like, when they're like looking at you right in your eyes and they're like nodding like that, that you're supposed to say, uh-huh, or like, mm-hmm, like that. You're answering a fool in his folly. I view it as a challenge. I view it as a, like, this is like a feat. As I look at them and I think, I'm not going to give any affirmation. And these get more like that. And the stares get more penetrating. And I just think, I'm not going to be manipulated by this. I'm looking at Russ. I'm just going to look at him, look at the guy like this. Just say as much as you want to say, give me all the social cues. I'm not doing this. Look at the very next verse. Answer a fool as his folly. Now, literally in the Greek, or the Hebrew rather, these are exactly the same. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, and then answer a fool according to his folly. They're just the same. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, or according to his folly, that he not be wise in his own eyes. That is, if you're going to say something now, don't agree with him. So that he doesn't just get, unconfronted plain road for where he's going. It's just futile to really correct him. But if something has to be said, then you say something that is, it's just factual, it's truth, without any sugar on it. All right? And then the bear is going to attack you. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a dullard who repeats his misosophy. All right. This is picked up in the New Testament about those in 2 Peter 2 who are believers and in that language have embraced the recognition of Christ and the holy commandment, meaning that you're not talking about salvation, that's not a command. You're talking about holiness of life. So, real believers who have escaped the corruption of the world by the recognition of Christ, they've recognized who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They know Him to be God. They acknowledge that He, as God, remaining God, became man. They admit that He is the Messiah. They confess Him as the Son of God. And then they begin to learn how to actually live the Christian way of life. And then they allow false teachers to convince them of liberty that they felt they did not have in the path of holiness. Peter says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to, having known it, depart from that holy commandment that was committed to them. And then he pulls this proverb out. It says it's happened to them according to the true proverb. They're a believer, but they're acting like a dog in that they're going back to something that was the vomit life of the old man. I don't know, some of you have dogs and like them. Winston has never done this, but I have had other dogs that have done this. It's like they get sick, you know, you start hearing those cues, that certain rhythmic thing that dogs do, and then they vomit, and then, you know, they're not feeling sick anymore, and they think, I'll eat the vomit. Now, some of you are like cringing there. You're supposed to. Those of you who are not cringing, you responded wrongly. Those who are going like, oh my God, you respond rightly. I ought to think that's what satisfying the cravings of my sin nature after I'm a believer is like. The dullard repeats or goes back to his God-hating activities, his misosophy. There are other uses here. The ones that we've gone through now are the ones that have kasil, dullard, connected with this word misosophy. Let's look at all other uses we've got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Should be on Sesame Street. Right there, 10 of them. 10 more verses. All in Proverbs. Let's go in order again. So go back to 5. These are all the verses in Proverbs that don't have a wheel or kasil, that is misosophist or dullard, connected with the statements made about misosophy. Proverbs 5, 22 and 23. We've got 10 more verses. Ready? His own iniquities will capture the wicked. No, they're going to blame it on you. Why does Paul say, reject a divisive man after a first and second admonition? Like, I warned you once, I warned you a second time. If you do it again, this is the biblical doctrine of three strikes and you're out. All right? Just like, I hope you can hit this one. I'll use a softball instead of a baseball. I'll lob it. I'll make it go as slow as I can. Hit this one, and they swing and miss, and we're not talking about just any sin. How many times must my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Let's be real magnanimous. Not three strikes and you're out. How about we'll double that and add one on for good measure? Seven. Seven times? How about we multiply now 70 times seven? But you're talking about personal sin done against you, not necessarily malicious, with repentance. With the person who comes and says, I changed my mind. I ask your forgiveness. I'm sorry. We're talking about the divisive person. Reject a divisive man after you're out. Get out. Because such a one, now this is why I brought you here, such a one, get ready what I'm going to say. Do you know what's coming? How many know the rest of the verse? How many know the rest of the verse? Yeah, that's what I thought. Since you don't know the rest of the verse, get ready to believe the Word of God when you hear it. Ready? Whatever it says, you don't know what it's going to say. Anybody? Sure that nobody knows the rest of the verse? Titus, good. Knowing that such a one is warped and sinning and is self-condemned. Why does Paul say that? Well, first, the obvious reason is because it's true. But why does he feel like he has to state that truth to Timothy? This one is self-condemned. That means he's going to blame you. He's going to say, you're condemning me. You talk about grace all the time. When it comes down to somebody has a problem, you know, you cut them off at the knees. You know, you just pull the rug out from under them. You're done with them. You're a hypocrite. He's going to say that you're condemning him, and he condemns you for condemning him. After a first and second admonition, we know that the person is warped. That is, they're bent in a certain direction. You take a piece of wood, it's flat, it's supposed to be flat, gets waterlogged a number of times. I don't know what all has to happen for it to get warped, but it gets twisted, and you can't get it back into that flat shape again. The person's character is warped morally, and self-condemned, Paul says that because he's going to say that you're condemning him. The misosophist will accuse you of having bugs in your glasses. The misosophist will accuse you of judgmentalism, of hypocrisy, of not being merciful, of not being loving, especially if you talk about those things a lot. That's 22, right? His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held by the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction. He's not going to listen to correction, so he's going to die. And it's going to be his own fault, but look what happens. And in the greatness of his ewelef, misosophy, he will go astray. He's going astray. He's not going in the way because of the greatness of his misosophy. Now, some of us go astray, but it's not because of misosophy. It's because of fallen humanity. It's because I'm not geared that way. I don't want to go that way. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, I have roved like a destroyed flockling, like a sheep that just went out here, and I destroyed myself. I did this thing. Seek your servant. And then he gives God a reason why, in truth, a truth reason, that God should seek this servant. Why should God seek that servant? Because God is a God of grace. No, that's not the reason that's given. It sounds fine. If I said that, you'd all just receive that. That's not the reason given. The reason is, seek your servant, though I've roved and roamed, because I have not forgotten your commandments. Now that person, though wandering, is utterly different than this person who's wandering. This person gets off track somehow, but the whole time he loves God's commandments. And yeah, we make stupid decisions, and God is asked to seek us to get us back. And yes, sometimes we don't even know what we're doing, and God gets us back here. This guy is the misosophist who hates wisdom and isn't going to listen to it and doesn't want instruction. And he's going to go, and there's no promise that God will seek him. Stiff words. I know, but they're the Word of God. I like the Word of God. Do you like the Word of God? Boy, I love this. give me definition. In other words, spell it out, make it just as stark reality as you can. Make it that black and white thing, if it's black and white. There's some gray areas. You know what? When I always give you those things, right? Today is the first time in a long time you haven't had a handout. You know all those colors, those colorful handouts that I give you? Sometimes it's pastel, they're usually pastels, yellows and greens and pink, and Amy likes it when I get pink out. And the blue and the you know, purple, right? Salmon. Ivory. I look at the color choices and I see, and I try to mix it up. And I always get to the light gray and I say, I don't like gray. Gray is middle of the road between black and white. I don't want to put black and white words on gray. So you notice you don't hardly ever get gray. Our culture has a fascination with the color gray. I think gray ought to be the state color of Pennsylvania. Look up in the sky for 6 months out of the year. Gray. Watch this. 14:1 is where we go next. 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish, that is the one who is of the noun misosophy, tears it down with her own hands. Wise woman is the way she relates to her household, the way she responds to her husbands, the way she interacts with her children, the use that she makes of the Word of God in details of life. She is building up that house. But the woman who is of misosophy, every day is the contrast to the wise woman. The wise woman is building up. The fool, the misosophist woman is tearing it down. Sometimes, how many of you can think of a time where someone has said something to you and it was just, it was idle. That is, the person really didn't think very much when they told you this. They just shot something out of their mouth. And you remembered that thing for years. You remember it today because it changed a relationship. It destroyed friends. One word. It burned into your soul. Maybe you were a child. These things just happen like they're daily. They seem to be mundane, but it's the daily destruction of a household that the woman of misosophy is operating in. 14:17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, literally in misosophy. You show me a hot-headed individual. You show me somebody who ignites fast. You show me someone who is easily angered. I'll show you a misosophist. 14:18, the next one. The naive. This is pathy. This is what the NKJV usually translates as simple. KJV as well. I like this is better than simple. But it's literally open. The open-minded. Like, I don't have any convictions on any. On anything. Or I have convictions on a few things. I dog those things to death. I mean, I ride these doctrines to the grave. But on the majority of the Word of God, I just don't know what weighs up. Could be that. Could be this other thing. I heard something interesting the other day. You're going to go with that this week? And next week when somebody contradicts that one, you're going to go that way? That's going to sound good too. You just can't arrive. Always learning. But never able to arrive at the truth. That's this naive. That's the pathy. He's open-minded. The naive inherit misosophy. Starts off like, I just don't know. Well, you better know. You better get the knowing. Because if you just don't know, I'll tell you where it's going. It's going to what you really don't want, misosophy. But the sensible are crowned with knowledge. 14:29. Four down, six to go of the last ten. 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who is quick-tempered exalts misosophy. I told you earlier in this, the verses in the same chapter. You show me a quick-tempered person, I'll show you a misosophist. Here it's the opposite is true too. You show me a slow. You show me somebody that, like, I dare you to make them angry. Try to get them angry. You show me Bruce. I'll show you a man of understanding. We all do things like all the time that should make him angry, right? We just can't get him angry. Here we go. I think he's watching today. Hope you're up for this. All right, here's your assignment. Get Bruce angry. I'm going to make Bruce angry. I dare you. You can't do it. All right. I'll show me a slow to anger person. I'll show you somebody who has understanding. 15:21. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't live with my wife. Where's the small print here? Where's the little, do you have a side column thing here that shows you verses that undo the one we just read? The circumstances don't matter. The situations are irrelevant. Slow-tempered, but you don't know what I had to put up with. Slow-tempered, great understanding. Quick-tempered, even if it's not across the board. I'm not quick-tempered with Amy. I'm not quick-tempered with Gary. I'm not quick-tempered with Meta. I'm not quick-tempered with Rachel. Michael burns me up. All right. Oh, now I'm allowed to be a misosophist in one relationship. I'm a misosophist in that relationship. If he, you know, he grates against me. He just comes in the room. It's misosophy, but it's selective misosophy. And what it really is partiality, which means I walk in darkness because I'm not obeying the scripture, do all things without partiality. So I don't love these guys either. Because if they were like him, I'd feel the same way about them. I don't love them. I don't love him. I don't love them because I don't love him. All right? Where are we? 15:21. Misosophy, ewelef, is joy to him who lacks sense. His sense is literally heart. That is a disposition to obey. An inclination toward God, a Christward mindset. But a man of understanding walks straight, ought to be straightly. Folly is, it's just like, it's fun. Misosophy is fun. The things that are involved with hating wisdom is fun to someone who is a fool who exalts folly. They like it. I don't care that Augustine has a name. Or Augustine, if you want to call him that. I don't care about what he said. I don't care how many Christians quote it. There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man that's unsatisfied until Christ fills it. That's not true. The misosophist loves it. He doesn't feel, there's a burning emptiness in me. While I go to my party and I shoot my drugs and I do whatever I want. But all the time, I'm so aware of it. No, he isn't. This verse says that he loves it. 18:13. Misosophy. Our subject as to a topic. How does the Lord view this? He who gives an answer before he hears, it is misosophy and shame to him. This is for the love of... How many of you have... You're all too young. You know, you used to watch that old program, which I thought was amusing. I never laughed at it, but I did find it amusing. I dare you to make Bruce angry. I dare you to make me really laugh. I'll smile. I think it's amusing. I understand it. But to really laugh, most of you have never seen me really laugh. Anyway, I never really laughed at it, but Green Acres, how many of you have seen that? Oliver Wendell Douglas never gets to finish a sentence in his house. And when he doesn't, he always just, oh, he gets frustrated. Oh, for the love of... And he doesn't finish it either. Can't ever finish a sentence. Because there's people, there's misosophists all around him. What's her name? What's his wife's name? I don't know. What's his wife's name? I don't know, but Mr. Haney and Mr. Kimball and Ralph and brother, never let him finish a sentence. You know what that is? That's misosophy. And it's great selfishness. It's like, come on, you're not getting there fast enough, and I've already got an answer for what I assume you're going to say. So, I'm just going to cut you off and tell you that. This is folly and shame. This is one of the verses that are like never mentioned, that in my house growing up, my kids like knew this verse off by heart. If I ever do it now, they quote it to me. It's like, this and let all things be done without grumbling and complaining. Those were like the two family verses. Like we always knew those things. 19:3. The Iweleth misosophy of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against Yahweh. This is teaching you how to destroy your path. Ruins his way. It is self-destructive. 22:15. How about this one? Misosophy. Not just dullness. Misosophy is bound up in the heart of a child. What do we do to get rid of this? Well, we take him to a good child psychologist and he talks to them. Says, what's your mom do that makes you mad? And they get all the more angry and telling, and how does that make you feel? And, well, maybe the next time your brother does that, instead of hitting him, you give him some constructive ideas of how he might make you feel better. Here's the Bible answer. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. You drive it out of him. You smack it out of him. This time, and you don't miss. It's not a swing and a miss. It's like, for this, it's one of the greatest inventions right here. Not with the buckle. But I mean, fold it up and go to town. That will take misosophy out of a child. And it's bound up in their heart. It's like it's sitting there waiting and growing and getting healthier as they get into ages that have the ending teen on them. And it's like, how old must you be until this is not true? When does this verse become not true? You know, I'm thinking like this, okay? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That's always true. When they're not a child anymore, this is still true, but now they're not a child. They're not in that category. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him, maybe until you're 19. If you still have misosophy, and this is the solution for misosophy, if you're still a child and there's still misosophy, 24:9. Our last verse. I'm suggesting it. I'm not saying that's the way to go, especially if they're girls. Girls get out of stuff just for being girls. I had one that got out of stuff just because, like, you're a girl. 4:9. The devising of misosophy is sin. You just thinking about it is sin. And the scoffer is an abomination to men. What is an abomination? Hey, that was my word when we played what was it, Christian apples to apples. That was my word, right? I had to choose a number. No, I had another word. Maybe it was disgusting. I think my word was disgusting. And I chose abomination over Beelzebub. Because what abomination means is like, this is disgusting. It's like nauseous to me. This thing is like, turns my stomach. It's repulsive. It's abhorrent. The scorner, the scoffer, the mocker is that way. That's the guy who, when in his misosophy, you resist what they say, they make fun of you. They laugh at you and try to get others to laugh at you and your position. This is the dog that eats the pearls or whatever. You know, they don't cast what is holy to dogs, nor give your pearls before swine. These are swine that trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. So much on misosophy today. Opposite of misosophy, well, it's wisdom. Wisdom hypostatized, sagacity personified, the Lord Jesus Christ. What we've been doing is, by looking through the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, we've looked at what is His opposite and some of its accoutrements, that is, the things associated with antichristism. The one having ears to be hearing, let him be hearing.